All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. First show of the offseason, and it's going to be a long one, make no mistake. And yet the action's never going to stop rolling. In fact, we've got plenty on the show today. Of course, we'll look back at the Super Bowl and everything else and look ahead to what the Bucks have coming up here in the next few weeks. But thank you for joining us. It was, I guess you'd say, a fitting ending to the NFL season in that, much like the other playoff games, it was close down to the end, decided by a field goal like so many of the games were, and just generally exciting. And like I always tell you guys, the NFL delivers almost every time. That was a thrilling postseason. It didn't end the way we personally wanted it to here at Joe Bucks Fan and Bucks fans all over the place. But, you know, the Rams, congrats to them as the world champions, a deserving champion. We're going to talk about that, though, because, you know, like I always hammer home when we're talking about the postseason especially, but really in sports in general, is how random all these things are. And if you look at that game, where I think it's generally, you know, the consensus is that, yeah, the Rams were the better team. They outplayed the Bengals, blah, blah, blah. And yet that game could have gone either way right up until the very end. So we'll talk about that. A little bit more information on the Bucks QB situation, although there's still nothing imminent. You know, we've had some news come out this past week, and I want to take everybody's temperature on, you know, as a fan, what you're willing to put up with or what you're willing to deal with, both on and off the field, because it's going to be a trade-off in a lot of ways, thinking about this as we approach the quarterback situation. So thanks for joining us. Thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks to our good friends at Joe Bucks Fan for giving me the platform. Like I always say, it's a privilege to get on here in the best place for Bucks coverage anywhere and be able to get in front of all of you. So thanks to them. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. If you're looking for a used car, brand new car, truck, van, anything, again, new or pre-owned, go to the website first, BillCurryFord.com. Remember, they spell it C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. And you can see everything there. Completely transparent online, no haggle pricing. You'll know what you're getting into. And if you want to see it in person, head to the actual site. They're a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, just north of Hillsborough Avenue. And you can check everything out there in person. A huge, beautiful showroom. They've recently remodeled the whole thing. And then, of course, the lot is huge. The service center is going to get redone, too. Which, by the way, speaking of the service center, you buy anything from Bill Curry Ford, you are covered. As long as you own the car, it could be 5-10 years, as long as you buy it from Bill Curry Ford and you still have it, your engine trouble, the powertrain warranty's got it. So you just bring it back in, no questions asked, they're going to fix it. And that's pretty cool. In fact, that, above all else, even more than the car itself, is the biggest deal to me, because having those repairs hang over your head sometimes, or hearing a noise and then, oh my God, I got to get car repairs. You don't have to do any of that with Bill Curry Ford. So check them out, BillCurryFord.com, or a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry. Thanks to Young Bull Athletics, I got my workout in this morning. And noticeably, I know this is a theater of the mind type thing with podcasts. You can't see me, but just trust me, I've got a good pump going today. And it's not just about a pump, because anybody can get a pump. You can curl 20 pounds 100 times to get a pump. Noticeable slabs of muscle. Not quite Aaron Donald at the championship parade levels of jackness, but I feel that way. And at 41, performing, like when I go play pickup basketball and things like that, better than I did through my 30s when I wasn't doing stuff like this, even though I'm a little older now. More like my 20s. And it's the fact, look, folks, I'm going to tell you this, whether it's Young Bull Athletics or anything else, but I suggest you go to youngbullathletics.com and let Gary Spencer take care of you. Okay? The fountain of youth exists. It's not no big secret. You just got to put a little bit of work in. And that's the best part about Young Bulls. They will set it up for you where you don't have to think. Just put the work in short periods of time, however much you want to do it, whether it's 3 times a week, 2 times a week, whatever, and you'll be set to go. So check them out. Let's talk about the Super Bowl real quick. I know it's a few days old now, but watching that game, not that I'm patting myself on the back, but we talked about this on the show last week. What did we say? You know, there's the issues up front. And all four categories up front, whether it's, you know, Bengals offensive line below average, Rams defensive front above average, Rams offensive line above average, Bengals defensive front below average. All four categories up there, the Rams had the advantage in. Yet it didn't go that poorly for the Bengals for the first half and part of the second half when, it, you know, we were, oh my God, you know, Burrow, is he going to survive? at the end of the day, I mean, he had more sacks than we could. You needed a graphing calculator to count all the sacks he took. But as of halftime, it wasn't that bad. It looked like it was going to be okay. And we'd said, hey, besides that, which is not a little thing, but besides that, liked how the Bengals matched up here. And if you told me before the game that the Bengals were going to be okay up front, I would have taken the Bengals the rest of the way. But it did rear its head. Raheem Morris, folks, the Rams defensive coordinator, made a great adjustment on the pressure. And, you know, they were having issues getting to Burrow because they were doubling Aaron Donald. And they were doing, you can read about this. I was reading about what they did. But when they switched to a five-man front, five-man front on defense for the Rams, still rushing four, but they switched to a five-man front and started dropping a guy in coverage, that confused the Bengals enough to where they started dedicating more manpower to the other side of the line, not just where Aaron Donald was. It just took a guy away from Aaron Donald because they didn't know who was coming, and it looked like five might be coming, and even though they still used the same number of people to rush in four, that adjustment by Raheem Morris kind of freed up Aaron Donald to do his thing, and you saw what happened in the second half there, and that was one of the big differences in the game. So, as a viewer, I mean, I enjoyed the game a ton. I felt cheated at the end of the game. I don't care who you were rooting for, and I had money on the Rams, okay, so I was clearly rooting for the Rams. But when it was 4th and 1, are you telling me you didn't want to see him at least get the 4th and 1? Just to see what was going to happen? Is McPherson going to come in and drill a long game-tying field goal? Are they going to score a touchdown? Are we going to go to overtime? You know, when the Rams hit that first pass on that final drive after the Rams, when the Bengals hit that first pass on their final drive after the Rams scored the go-ahead touchdown, they hit Ja'Marr Chase, he broke free, got it to near midfield. We were all thinking, okay, they're going to hit a couple more passes here real quick. There was plenty of time, and they're going to get this thing in field goal range and at least give McPherson a look. And then they hit a 9-yard pass, and it was 2nd and 1. And they turned it over on downs, which is a horrible way to go. I mean, I would have rather had, if I were a Bengals fan watching that, I would have rather had that end almost any other way than being down by 3 with the ball and plenty of time, starting to hum a little bit, moving the ball, then getting a 2nd and 1, and not even needing my timeouts, not running out of time, not throwing a game-ending interception, just literally turning it over on downs after having 2nd and 1. Like, that is as bad as it gets. And, you know, it's easy to second-guess. I mean, on the 2nd and 1, they're not really thinking about, let's get the first down, although in hindsight, they should have been, because that's the easiest. You can hand the ball off there or run a little draw play or something safe and easy and just get a few yards. You might even get more underneath, but you can definitely get a few yards and get your first down and reset the chains and then go to work. But they threw an incomplete pass on 2nd and 1. Okay, no big deal. Still 3rd and 1. But now you're thinking, oh, well, they do kind of have to make sure they get this yard before they think about anything else. Then 3rd and 1, they run for it right at Aaron Donald. I don't know why. That was a key play. Stuffed. And then the 4th and 1 play was atrocious, too. Why are you going to get in shotgun on 4th and 1 and call a slow-developing pass play is completely beyond me when there are so many better options, whether it's running the ball or even running a quick hit passing route, having a guy go in motion, releasing into the flat, just something quick. You know, there's all kinds of ways to do it, but don't have the guy get in the shotgun, then stand there and plant his feet and read the defense for 3 sets. That's just not, they didn't have enough time, and Aaron Donald made him pay, and they turn it over. So that was a really crappy way to end the game as a fan who was kind of neutral. But it must have been a really horrible way to end the game if you were a Bengals player or coach or a Bengals fan. I really felt for them. I'm trying to imagine that the Bucs lost a game that way. That seems even worse than what happened against the Rams in the divisional round, honestly. So that was kind of unfortunate. But what did we get? We got 3 hours of entertainment one last time. The game didn't take very long either. It was over before, I think it was before 10 o'clock, right? Didn't it end before 10? Which you can't ask much more than that. You can't certainly say that about, like, MLB or anything like that. We didn't know who was going to win the ball game with, like, 3 minutes to go, which is always good when you don't have the outcome's in doubt all the way to the end. And so it ended. I really would have loved to see overtime or at least seen the Bengals line up for the game-tying field goal. But that was that, and that leaves us where we are now. The Rams is world champions. And the Bucs' reign is now over. 2 teams in a row have won the Super Bowl, not just played in, but won the Super Bowl in their home stadium. Next year it is in Phoenix, if the Cardinals want to try to make it a hat trick. And In the meantime, we've got that long, cold offseason. There's not a football game that counts for another, well, I guess even if you go preseason, that's still 8 months away, much less the first week of college football's. That's about 8 months, not quite 9 months. But either way, pretty long time, right? So it ain't like baseball's running to the rescue because they still have their lockout going on. Hockey's going on right now. We'll have March Madness soon. There's things, you know, there's all, I love sports. Golf, the Masters is coming up, all that stuff. But there is nothing, and I mean, there is nothing in the world like football. And right up to the very end, the NFL proved it again this past season. But, I mean, this is what I always say about the randomness. The Rams outplayed the Bengals. The Rams seemed like the better team. The Rams felt like a deserving winner. I'm not saying the wrong team won the game. And yet, even with all of that, you change one play in that game, the Bengals win. You change one play in any of these playoff games. You know, Rams 49ers, Rams Bucks, Bengals Chiefs, Chiefs Bills. I mean, all these playoff games were ridiculous. And if you change any one play in them, their outcome's different. You could play the playoffs. You could probably play the same exact playoffs five times over and get five different Super Bowl champions, or at least five different Super Bowl matchups. Okay, so let me tell you, this goes back to what I always say. Being there is the most important thing. A lot of crazy stuff's going to happen. You can't ensure anything just by being good, but being there and just having a chance every year is the best way to win a Super Bowl. And the Bucs did that. They did that last year. They did it again this year. Last year, their number came up. This year, it didn't. But both times, they were right there. And it could have gone either way. So that leads me to the next part of the show. Where are we as a franchise now? How do we keep being there? Because if you're there, you've got a shot. And the Bucs are in a division that they can win. And I'm not saying it's a gimme. You never know from year to year. But, I mean, looking at the NFC South right now, right? I mean, it feels like if the Bucs get the right guy at this, you know, this whole quarterback thing we got to sort out, it feels like they can definitely be there again. Because if you win your division, no matter what your record is, no matter who you are hosting a playoff game at home on wild card weekend at worst. And maybe, you know, you get a bye, but probably not. But either way, then you go to the next weekend, it's the divisional round. I mean, you've got a chance to be there. And all these kinds of crazy things happen when you are there. So there is where we're trying to get and where they've been. And so how do you do that if you're the Buccaneers and you're looking at this thing right now? News came out this week. And it's since been other tweets conflicting with that. There was an initial report from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. It says Deshaun Watson, you know, of the Texans, who's got a mountain of legal issues off the field, who was paid $10.5 million by the Texans last year to stay away from the team and not play in games or practice, but still holds the trump cards. It's kind of funny, like, there aren't many things in life where you can be in as much trouble as it sounds like Deshaun Watson is in, but still have total control. First of all, he got his $10.5 million. Second of all, he's still only one of 11 players in the National Football League to have a no-trade clause. So he can still just pick and choose what he wants to do and get his, he's going to get 20-something million this year. Unless, you know, barring suspension, which is still on the table. But anyway, the report from Jeremy Fowler was that Watson is starting to look at other teams, and he has entertained the Vikings and the Bucks. Then Jacina Anderson tweeted earlier today, I'm recording this on Thursday, that no, that's been denied. He hasn't pinpointed any specific teams, blah, blah, blah. Whether you believe it or not doesn't matter. The point is he's obviously going somewhere else. He's not staying with the Texans. So who would he be willing to get traded to? I'm pretty sure the Bucks would be one of those teams. Whether that report was true or not, now it will be true. So also reports earlier in the week that the Bucks have been kicking the tires, so to speak, whatever cliche you want to use, on Russell Wilson, doing their homework on Russell Wilson and on Deshaun Watson, which that's not a big revelation. Of course they have. The Bucks should be researching all the available quarterbacks, whether it's Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson, whether it's Carson Wentz, whether it's Jimmy Garoppolo, whether it's, you know, any of these guys. I mean, you're going to look at, you know, especially the high-level guys. So here's where we have to make a decision as Bucks fans individually. I don't mean as a group. Each of us individually has to make a decision as Bucks fans. You're in a league, the National Football League, where there are only a handful of guys who can get you where you want to be, okay? And we just lost one of them. And he's not coming back despite, well, all you hear. If I'm wrong about that one, I know I've made some proclamations before and ended up being wrong. If I'm wrong about this one, you can throw it back in my face all you want, because I'll be happy that Tom Brady came back. But Tom Brady's not one of the options, okay? We just lost one. So you have a handful of those guys. We just went through years in the darkness with nothing, and then we got this guy, and in 2 years we go to the Super Bowl, and we're a hair away from the NFC Championship game. You need one of those guys, right? What are there, 7, 8, 9, maybe 10 of them? All right, so as a Bucks fan, as a Bucks, you know, if you're Jason Light or somebody like that, what do we have to do to stay in that group at the top of the mountain? So, Russell Wilson, we'd all love. We've talked about him. This Deshaun Watson thing comes out. I have a buddy, Drew, one of my best friends. In fact, he came over to my house for the Super Bowl. We've been Bucks fans together since we were in elementary school. In fact, we celebrated our 16th birthdays, which is only a month apart. We're both born in the summer. We celebrated our 17th birthday by getting Bucks season tickets together, because we both had cars for the first time and we could drive ourselves to the games and we didn't need anybody's permission, or we could just do it ourselves. We saved our summer job money and went and got the tickets. I still remember doing it. And it was 1997, which was one of my favorite Bucks seasons ever. And we had season tickets together for, you know, 15, 20 years, and we still go to the games. And point is, we're as hardcore as it gets, right? My buddy stopped being a Bucks fan. He said, "I can't do it, Bob." He calls me Bob. Because of them drafting Jameis Winston. Says, "I can't in good conscience do this. I have to step back until this is over. However long it lasts, whatever it is." And he did. He wasn't, like, gone forever. He said, "I'm not renouncing my Bucks fanship forever." He says, "I'm on pause as long as they have Jameis Winston. Can't condone the behavior." All right? And then when they let go of Jameis Winston, even before we knew we were getting Brady, I was happy just because I had my friend back. Because, like, he was the guy I'd always text during the games. If we didn't watch him together, we'd always be there together. It just wasn't the same. You know, he was like, "Yeah, I'm just not, I can't do this." And that was his decision. I didn't make that decision. Not that I condone the stuff that Jameis Winston did or was accused of. But in my mind, I just had to separate it because I couldn't give it up. I couldn't give it up. Now, I can't quit Buck football, no matter how hard I try. They would have to do something really, really dreadful for me to give it up. So anyway, I stayed on. He came back. Well, now we're looking at Deshaun Watson. Same exact thing. And Bucks fans have already had to do this in their, or some of you have, maybe some of you don't care. But Bucks fans have already faced this challenge once before with Jameis Winston. Do you want to go through this again? All right, do you want to have to weigh in your mind rooting and cheering on someone like Deshaun Watson, who right now is accused of things? Nothing has been proven. But, you know, he's a guy that's got some baggage off the field. And even if it gets settled, let's say there's no court hearings, nothing legal ever happens. They settle it out of court. It's a money thing, and that's that. Still happened, most likely, allegedly, whatever you want to say. So now, you've got one of those guys. Admittedly, this is one of those 7, 8, 9, 10 guys who can keep you at the top of the mountain. You can go far with this guy. You might be able to win a Super Bowl with this guy. You can definitely win the division with this guy. And all of a sudden, it feels like our Tom Brady troubles, and I'm not saying he's Tom Brady, but he's one of those guys where you can count on one hand, maybe a little bit of two hands in the NFL that you've got to have if you really want to be where you want to be. Okay, so there's that, but then there's, okay, for example, my son is home right now, and for that reason, I'm not even going to get into the stuff that Deshaun Watson's accused of. I can't even say it in front of my son. All right, so what is that? Do I want to do that for a few more years? I already had to explain to him because he was asking me. You know, he's 10. My daughter's 7. She's still pretty young. She's not quite as dialed into it. My son is dialed in. And so he was hey, I heard about this Deshaun Watson guy. Can the Bucks get him? Why not? And I was like, well, you know, it's always the he's got some off-field issues. Well, what off-field issues, Dad? Well, he, you know, what do you say? So now I got to go do that. And that's just if he's a possible. If we actually sign him, it's going to be all over the news, this, that, and the other. Still waiting on the legal process to unravel. Gonna have to explain all that. And I'm not one of these people, these uptight people. How am I supposed to explain to my kid? You know, I'm not one of those people, okay? Some of these people are dramatic. You know, as a parent, it's your job to explain stuff to your kids. But yeah, I mean, do you want to do that again? Like, do you want to... Also, though, do you want to be sitting at home in January? Or do you want to go to Raymond James Stadium for home playoff games? There's that, too. So you have to weigh all those things. And you know, with Watson, there's so many unknowns. First of all, the legal process, like I said, if there are settlements and they're done, that clears up a lot. If there are indictments, you know, are they felony indictments? Are they misdemeanor indictments? Are there suspensions coming from the NFL? Is it 4 games? I think most teams would be okay with 4 games. Is it more? You know, there's all these things we don't know. But mainly, do you want to put, if I'm Jason Light, and more importantly than Jason Light, if I'm the Glazers, do I want to put Bucks fans in that position again? Where they've got to wonder what they can say to their kids, or wonder if they should feel dirty just rooting for their favorite team, you know? And, you know, winning cures a lot of stuff. I mean, I guess if you knew he was going to come in and lead you deep into the playoffs every year, I think a lot of people would forget a lot of stuff pretty quick. That's just the way it is in our society, and I'm guilty of it myself. But either way, do you want to put Bucks fans in that position? And then there's the cost of Deshaun Watson. Now, the Texans, of course, are going to, you know, be real cocky about, oh, yeah, it's going to be a high price. He don't want to play for the Texans, okay? So you can tell them to go pound sand if they make a, you know, I've seen all these people saying, oh, the Texans should demand, they've already said, I think, the price was going to be 3 first-rounders, maybe 2 second-rounders, blah, blah, blah. And the idea of using picks on players that you know are good is fine. I have no problem with that. The whole point of draft picks is to get players like that. So if you already know these guys can play, I'd rather give up a first-rounder, even multiple first-rounders, for guys who are the guy than hoping that the guys you end up picking are that guy instead. But I mean, you know, the Texans, he's not playing there. If they have these ridiculous asking prices, it's not like they have a ton of leverage. Like, they can't just say, oh, we'll just keep him if we don't get the price we want. Because that's not happening. So they got to play ball a little bit. I don't know. And then you got to look at the other options. So, you know, the other day, not the other day, you know, a couple weeks ago, whatever it was, I was as down on Jimmy G as anybody. Oh, this guy, he's not the guy. You know, come on. The way that game ended against the Rams, that was one play. But still, this guy's not the guy. But the more I think about it, okay, he's a compromise, right? Because he's not quite as good. I'm not saying he's one of those 10 guys, but maybe he is. He's been to the Super Bowl. In fact, he's only played 2 full seasons, Jimmy Garoppolo, right? As a starter, 2 full seasons, 2019 and 2021. And in those 2 seasons, his team lost in the Super Bowl and lost in the NFC Championship game. So that's pretty good. That's a guy who at least isn't like, oh my God, how do we win with this guy? You can win with that guy. You can at least win the division with that guy. He's got 1 year left on a 5-year deal. It's $137.5 million. He'll be $27 million against the cap in 2022 if that stayed the same. But all that can be changed if you sign a guy like him to a long-term deal, tear up his old contract, and then all of a sudden you can do all the restructuring that comes with that and, you know, the stuff they use to get around the salary cap. Prorated signing bonuses, all that type of stuff. You can do that with him. Okay, and that'd give you, albeit you would be, again, kicking the can down the road to, you know, put you in more of a bind in future years. But if you really think you're that close and that this guy can do it. So there's a compromise. Is he maybe the guy? That, okay, we're not going to go as far as Deshaun Watson, even though we like him. We can't deal with the off-field stuff or the price. In this case, too, if the Bucks don't want to do that, is Garoppolo that guy? You know, we all know, we talked about it already. 33-14 as a starter, wins, hasn't played awesome by the actual. If you go by the numbers of rating actual quarterbacks, not just the overall wins and losses, he's not maybe that guy. He's been bolstered by a really good running game and some other things. But then some people say, oh, well, all that matters is quarterback wins. It's not. I mean, how they play at quarterback matters too. But behind our offensive line, which you should be able to keep mostly intact this year, you might be losing part of it with Jensen. But you're still going to have Marpet. You're still going to have Donovan Smith. You're still going to have Wirfs. You're still going to have a good offensive line. Can we put, is Jimmy G kind of the, okay, hey, look, this guy's at least been there before, right? You can sell that. Like, this guy's not terrible. He's done it before. He may not be Deshaun Watson. He's certainly not Tom Brady, but he's not, you know, Teddy Bridgewater either. And then you've got who else? I mean, then you're getting into like Carson Wentz and stuff like that, whatever you want to make of that. Or Kyle Trask or somebody like that. Saw a mock draft that had the Bucks draft and Sam Howell, the North Carolina quarterback, with the 27th pick. Who the hell knows? Point is, I'll say where I am. I don't want to do it with Deshaun Watson. I'm done. Much like the massage therapist, I'm out on Deshaun Watson. That's not my scene, okay? And I say that as a lifelong Bucks fan who knows full well that he might be a guy who can put them, you know, or keep them where they've been. But I'm not feeling it. Don't want to go down that road again, even beyond the off-field stuff, the price. So I can't talk myself into that. I'm not excited about Jimmy Garoppolo, but I could. And I'm not saying the Bucs are doing this. It's unknown what they'll do. But I could talk myself in. Like, if you told me, report breaking, Bucs are close with negotiations with Jimmy Garoppolo, they're going to swing a trade, this is going to be happening in the next few days, I could talk myself into that. I can talk myself into anybody who's at least done it. Like, the guy's played in a Super Bowl, and he was close again this year. And I know he wasn't a complete quarterback god in those runs, but he got him there. And look, my son was just saying, how can you say this, Dad? Jimmy G sucks, blah, 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 you know? And I was explaining to him, hey, buddy, you know, he's two seasons as a starter. He's been at least to these places that we like to be. And he's like, well, that's a team thing. And I said, yes, it is a team thing. But you know what? We have a good team. We have a team that's good enough where if you have a competent quarterback, that you can at least be there. And is he Patrick Mahomes? No. Is he Josh Allen? No. Is he Tom Brady or is he even Matthew Stafford? No. Are any of these guys that besides Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson? No. But if you can't get those two, or if you decide you don't want to pursue those two, I could talk myself into Garoppolo. I don't think I could talk myself into Wentz. Because here's this type of person I am, okay? I have strong opinions just like everybody else, but once the Bucs make a decision, I'm an optimist. Even if I was against the decision beforehand, I'm going to start trying to talk myself into that decision after they make it because I don't want to be down. I want to be like excited, looking forward to things, optimistic. That's my nature. So if you say we're signing Carson Wentz, okay, well, I'm not a Carson Wentz guy. But now I'll start looking up things, okay, what... How can I talk myself into him? Oh, here's some EPA stats. These are pretty okay. Whatever it is, I'll figure out a way to talk myself into it, I hope. And that's what I'm saying. I don't want to be getting somebody like Kyle Trask. The Bucs aren't doing that. And I'm not ripping Kyle Trask, but I couldn't talk myself into him. I couldn't get excited about that. Couldn't do it. To me, that would be like, we suck again. We're rebuilding, blah, blah, blah. If you think the Bucs are there, feel free. But I don't think the Bucs are there. I don't think the Bucs think they're there. I don't think they're going to turn the team over. I see a lot of people suggesting Kyle Trask on Twitter. I think you guys are crazy. I don't think there's any way the Bucs would do that. They'll get one of these guys. The Glazers, well, Bruce Arians too, but mainly the Glazers over the years, they've always been aggressive, right or wrong. They've been wrong plenty. They have never hesitated to be aggressive. And, you know, I don't say they don't bat an eye at the off-field stuff, but they weren't afraid to sign Jameis Winston. And that was when he had the prior stuff. And then even when other stuff happened after he was already here, the three-game suspension, whatever, they didn't bat an eye then. They said, they will do it. They will. I'm not ruling out Deshaun Watson on their end. I think they would be okay. Not that I'm saying these guys have loose morals, but they're running a business, they're aggressive, and I don't think they would stop because of all the stuff. Unless it was an actual issue like, okay, he's going to miss 8 games or that type of thing, that'd be different. But I think they'd be okay pursuing that. But I don't want to. And yet if they do it, just like I always do, I'll talk myself into it. Well, you know, maybe you can settle out of court. If they agree to settle out of court, it must not have been that bad. If money can buy their silence, you know, well, I'll say something to myself in my mind to rationalize it, and I'll get excited for 2022 Buccaneer football. But I feel like Garoppolo's the compromise right now. Between that far end of the spectrum of getting a guy like Watson or Russell. I mean, Russell Wilson's the guy. He's the one I'd really want. If I think they can really do this, I would love to have him, okay? I think the Bucs stay instant contenders with him, and he doesn't have any of the issues, you know, that go along with Deshaun Watson. Would love it. He'd be my number one guy. But short of him, you know, whether it's Watson or Jimmy Garoppolo, I could talk myself one way or the other. Depending on the circumstances. That's just where I am right now. Love to hear your thoughts. If you ever want to email me, it's bobbygameday@yahoo.com, BobbyGameday@yahoo.com. BobbyGameday@yahoo.com. Same thing on Twitter. You can get me @BobbyGameday. And in the meantime, we got all the mock drafts, all the stuff coming up with the combine and everything. We've still got plenty of time to get to all that. But as we begin the off season, I just want to say, now that we're done with the football season, not just the Bucs, the whole thing, that was really fun. Football is the greatest sport in the world, both because of the game itself inherently and because of the way it's structured with the amount of games, the weekly schedule, all the thing. And I just get reminded of it week after week after week. I'm already looking forward to the USFL, which we got a team. And the USFL, if you haven't seen, they're branding the old USFL. It's an 8-team league. Same teams. Not all of them, but like the Tampa Bay Bandits are one. Birmingham Stallions, New Jersey Generals. People that followed the USFL back in the day, remember. Those were my first games. My first ever games at Tampa Stadium, the old Sombrero, were not Bucks games. In 83, 84, 85, those three springs, I was age 2, 3, and 4, and it was kind of a lot to take me to a Bucks game, but you could spread out more at the Bandits games, and my mom and dad would take me to those. And I still remember that Black Horse and the Bandit shooting off the blanks and the gun riding across the field. I mean, for a little, you know, pre-kindergarten Bobby game day, that was the coolest thing in the world. And I loved going to those games. And, you know, they're doing it again the first season because of COVID still. They're doing everything in one spot. I think it's Memphis, right? So all the games, all the teams are going to be stationed in Memphis. They still have the city names. They're still Tampa Bay Bandits. If this thing makes it a second season, which a lot of these leagues haven't, they could conceivably come back here and do it the normal way next year, kind of like they were doing with the XFL and the Vipers for a while there until that got submarined by COVID. But I don't care. Point is, I'm looking forward to it. It's because it's football. Even if there wasn't a Bandits, having the Bandits makes it even more fun. They did the uniform reveal on Twitter today, and most of the uniforms are pretty close to what they used to be. The Bandits have a few tweaks that I didn't care for, but overall pretty good. But April, more football, and you bet your ass I'll be watching it. I will watch any football, anytime, any place. I'm already getting pangs that I didn't play semi-pro this year, although, now that I've been working out with Young Bull Athletics, I think I can pull off one more season because I just want to be around football some more. In the semi-pro league, even though I'd be a scrub out there. I don't care. I never cared before. So, let's just hats off to football season. Another one in the books. We made it, and we'll be back again in September. But the offseason is going to be a lot of fun, and of course, right now, we've got plenty to keep us interested because we don't know who the Bucks quarterback is going to be yet. And all these, the musical chairs, the carousel, it's starting now. It's going to be, got to get this stuff done. Got to know going into the draft what's going on, and free agency and all that's coming up. And everything, so we'll be all over it. In the meantime, that is our first show of the off season. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Thanks to our good friends at Joe Bucks Fan for giving me the platform. Like I always say, can't appreciate it enough to be in front of all you all. And thanks to you guys for listening. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford for sponsoring the show. Young Bull Athletics, if you're looking for personal training or just simply programming, check them out, youngbullathletics.com. I'll be back next week, and maybe we'll know more by then about what's going on. But in the meantime, enjoy the long weekend. For a lot of people, they've got President's Day off on Monday. I know schools are off in Hillsborough County Friday and Monday. So have some fun if you're traveling, whatever. Fire up the free stretch anywhere you can, and I'll be back next week. Have a great weekend, everybody. Be safe, and wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.